and the note slips onto her lap. She picks it up, scans the words, and gapes at me.
Yikes! The Lord is deep!
She thrusts the book back at me and pulls into the traffic. He is. I start thinking about pillow talk, green eyes, and hard warmth.
Just how good in bed are we talking here?
Kate asks casually, keeping her eyes on the road. My head snaps to the side to look at her, but she won't return my stare.
Very, I reply.
The best, amazing, mind-blowing. I want to do it again and again and again. Will this be a pinball rebound? I sigh, not answering because I'm scared to admit it out loud. She reaches over and squeezes my knee, smiling thoughtfully. She knows what's happening here. Chapter 11. We slow at the entrance of a residential street, and Kate brings Margot to a stop.
Right, get in the back.
What?
Get in the back, Ava.
She reinforces her instructions with a batting of my knee.
Why?
I'm frowning heavily. She points down the street, and realization dawns on me. I look at her completely wide-eyed. She has the decency to look a little apologetic.
I've strapped, padded, and cushioned, but this street is a fucking nightmare. That cake took me 2 weeks to finish. If it goes over, I'm fucked.
I look down the tree-lined street. Cars are parked on both sides, and there is just room for one line of traffic down the middle. That's not what's bothering me, though. It's the vicious black rubber speed humps dotted every 20 yards that have my attention. Oh, God, I'm going to be tossed about like a penny in a tumble dryer.
Can't we carry it? I ask desperately.
It's 5 tiers, and it weighs a ton.
Just hold on to the box, it'll be fine.
I exhale, unclipping my seatbelt.
I can't believe you've got me doing this, I grumble, climbing into the back of the van and wrapping my arms around the tall cake box.
Couldn't you assemble it on sight?
Nope.
Why not?
I just couldn't. Hold the fucking cake, she yells impatiently.
I tighten my grip, spreading my legs to keep my balance, and lay my cheek against the box. We're positioned at the mouth of the road, engine revving and looking like something out of a comedy sketch.
Ready?
She calls back. I hear Margot crunch into gear.
Just bloody get on with it, will you?
I snap. She's giggling as she slowly starts creeping forward, and it's not long before a car horn starts honking impatiently from behind.
Oh, fuck off, you tosser!
Kate yells as we hit our first speed hump. I'm propelled into the air, my face squishing against the box, my heels sliding from under me.
Kate!
I screech, landing on my arse.
Don't let go of that box!
I scramble back to my feet, grabbing the box, just as the back wheels jolt down the other side of the hump.
Will you take it easy? I need a run-up, else you won't make it over,
she exclaims, hitting another hump.
Oh, bloody hell!
I'm catapulted into the air, landing with an almighty thud.
Kate!
She's laughing hard now, only serving to piss me off more.
Sorry,
she gasps.
No, you're not,
I grate, pulling myself up again. I kick my heels off to try and get a better balance.
Oh, no.
I blow my hair out of my face.
What? I'm not reversing, mister, she hisses.
I spot a Jaguar driving at us, and with only enough width for one vehicle and no space to pull in, it's a standoff. A string of loud car horns starts singing out around us as Kate proceeds forward, knocking me all over the place in the back of Margot.
I'll ram you,
she warns Mr. Jaguar, smacking her horn repeatedly.
Is the cake okay?
Yes!
Don't you dare let him win,
I yell,
landing on my backside again. Shit! Hang on, only two more to go. Oh, God. Two jolts later, and probably another two more bruises on my behind, we're double parked and unloading the stupid five-tier cake. Mr. Jaguar is honking, cursing, and throwing hand gestures all over the place, but we ignore him. My feet are still bare as I help Kate out with a cake, delivering it into the massive kitchen of Mrs. Link, who's throwing a sweet 16 for her daughter. I leave Kate to sort the rest and go back to Margot to wait for her, ignoring the car horns as I look for my shoes in the back.
Move the van, you stupid bitch!
The violent tone pulls my head from the van to find an overweight, balding, middle-aged businessman approaching with a face like thunder.
Are you fucking deaf?
Oh, shit. He's going to crack me one. I look toward the steps that lead to Mrs. Link's house, but the front door is still firmly closed. I gasp when I'm shoved in the back. Please, give me 5 minutes, I plead with the irate twat. If Kate was here, he would be on his arse by now.
Just move the fucking shed, you dopey cow!
He roars in my face, making me recoil. I run onto the pavement, stepping on every stray stone on my way and up the steps to Mrs. Link's front door. Kate! I knock frantically, turning and smiling sweetly at Mr. Baldy Jag, earning myself another torrent of abuse. This guy needs anger management. Kate! I shout, banging again. Car horns are blaring all around. I've got the angriest man I've ever encountered hurling abuse at me. My arse is sore, and my feet are being stabbed by fucking stones. Kate! My throat is bloody sore now, too. But then I have a thought. Has she left the keys in Margot? I gingerly run down the steps, back onto the street to check Margot's ignition, going around the back to avoid Baldy. It would seem that he's not so willing to let me evade him, though, and I collide with his fat, sweaty body as I reach the driver's door. Oh! I cry, getting a waft of stale body odour. He grabs the top of my arm, squeezing hard.
If you don't move that fucking thing now, I'll slap your skinny ass all over this street!
I lean back against the van as he tightens his hold on my arm to a point so painful I want to cry out. I'm going to be bludgeoned on a leafy residential street in posh Belgravia and be plastered all over tomorrow morning's news. I feel my eyes welling up with panicky tears as I'm pinned to the side of Margot with not a clue what to do.
Get your fucking hands off her!
The roar that pierces the air around me, blocking out all car horns and London traffic, makes my knees buckle with relief. I turn toward the direction of the most welcome voice I've ever heard and see Jesse running down the middle of the road in his suit, looking murderous. Oh, thank God. I don't know where he's come from, and I couldn't care less. The relief that washes over me is overwhelming. I've never been so glad to see anyone in my life, and the fact that it's a man I've known barely a week should be telling me something. Mr. Baldy Jag's fat, ugly head snaps up in Jesse's direction, a deep look of panic instantly invading his sweaty features. I feel his grip ease up. Letting go of me and stepping back from Margot, he starts weighing up the mountain of lean tallness that's running at full pelt toward us. The intention to scarpa is clear on his ugly face. He doesn't get a chance to, though. Jesse charges him before he sets his short legs to work, taking him clean from his feet and sending him crashing to the tarmac. My God, I was wrong. Baldy isn't the angriest man I've ever seen. I watch as Jesse's fist collides with Baldy's face before he kicks him in the gut, causing him to cry out.
Get off your fat ass and apologize.
Jesse yanks him up from the road, presenting him to me.
Apologize! He roars.
I look at Baldy, who's huffing and puffing, his nose clearly broken, blood dripping down his slimy suit. I would feel sorry for him if he wasn't such a nasty bastard. What sort of a man does that to a woman?
I'm sorry,
he stutters, looking completely dazed. Jesse's fisted hand in Baldy's jacket shakes him.
Lay a finger on her again and I'll rip your fucking head off.
His voice is menacing.
Now fuck off!
He shoves the crumpled heap of a man out of his hands and grabs me, yanking me into his chest. I fall apart. I'm a stupid, blubbering wreck as I sob all over Jesse's expensive suit while he holds me against his hard, warm chest.
I should have finished the bastard off,
he grumbles.
Hey, stop the tears. I'll get crazy mad.
He spreads his palm over the back of my head and sighs into my hair. Where did you come from? I mumble, pulling out of his chest. I don't care. I'm just glad he's here. He flicks me a look, almost embarrassed. I don't prevent my gasp of shock. You followed me, didn't you?
And it's a good job, he dismisses me. Where's Kate?
Yes, where is Kate? Mayhem has broken out and she's still nowhere to be seen. I'm going to kill her after I've had my fix of Jesse.
Hey, what's going on?
I look up and see Kate standing at the front of Margot, looking rather bewildered.
I think you need to move your van, Kate,
Jesse advises diplomatically. He's not even broke a sweat.
Oh, okay,
she shrugs, completely oblivious. Jesse pulls back, running his eyes down my body.
Where are your shoes?
He asks on a frown, his eyes darkening with rage again, clearly thinking I lost them in the ruckus with Baldy. They're in the back of Margot, I sniffle. The van, I elaborate, when his brow knits in confusion. He picks me up and carries me around to the pavement, sitting me on a wall outside Mrs. Link's house.
I'm not even going to ask how they got there.
I'll get them, Kate shouts.
She bloody should as well. She comes running over with my heels.
What happened? Where were you?
I ask shortly.
She rolls her eyes.
I got dragged upstairs for a showing of the party dress. It was way too small and pretty painful to watch. It took them 10 minutes to stuff her in the thing.
She glances over at Jesse, who's grabbing my bag from the front seat of Margot.
What happened?
She asks again on a whisper.
He looks fuming.
I got roughed up by Mr. Jaguar. I brush the gravel from the bottom of my sore soles and put my heels on. Jesse, I pause, wondering if following could be classed as stalking, just happened to be passing.
Ava, I'm sorry.
She sits on the wall and puts an arm around me.
Thank God for the Lord, huh?
I can detect the suggestion in her tone.
Kate, you need to shift that van before war breaks out.
He strolls over with my bag as I get to my feet.
Damn, they hurt.
I rest my bum back down on the wall again, wincing when my arse meets the concrete.
Jesse frowns when he catches me flinching. I'm taking Ava with me.
You are?
I blurt. He raises his eyebrows.
Yes, I am.
His tone dares me to object. I'll see you at home. Kate kisses my temple and strolls off toward Margot, with absolutely no urgency, looking back and grinning. I ignore her and gaze up at the tall, handsome beast in front of me, looking edible in his grey suit and crisp white shirt, and find green eyes narrowed on me.
Why are you flinching?
I stand up, wincing again when my feet take my full weight.
My backside hurts.
I rub my battered bum and reach to take my bag from him.
I was holding Kate's cake up in the back of Margot.
You didn't have a seatbelt on.
No, you don't get seatbelts in the back of vans, Jesse. He shakes his head and picks me up, cradling me in his strong arms, before striding off down the street. I sigh heavily and let him do his thing, resting my head against his shoulder and wrapping my arms around his neck.
You didn't call me. I told you to call,
he grumbles accusingly. I'm sorry.
So am I.
What are you sorry for?
For not being here sooner.
Don't do stupid shit, Ava.
And call when I tell you to.
I frown into his shoulder, and he looks down at me as if sensing my response to his scold. He grins, brushing his lips on my forehead. My eyes close. I can't ignore it. There's definitely something here, and it's knocked the wind right out of my singleton sails. He pulls up outside Kate's, and I'm not surprised that Margot's not arrived home yet. The man drives like a loon. I let myself out of the car, but I'm soon scooped up and carried up the path to the front door. I can walk, I laugh, but he ignores me, taking my keys from my hand when we reach the door and opening it himself before kicking it shut behind us. I wriggle, and he places me on my feet, his hand wrapping around my waist, pulling me into him. I'm lifted until my lips meet his, and I sigh, linking my arms around his neck, letting his tongue roll around my mouth slowly and calmly. I'm screwed if I even think I can resist him. Thank you for the book, I say against his lips. He leans back, gazing at me, his green eyes twinkling with pleasure.
You're more than welcome.
He drops a chaste kiss on my lips. Thank you for saving me. He smiles that cheeky, roguish smile.
Anytime, baby.
The front door flies open, and Kate bowls in, clocking us in our embrace. Sorry, she mouths, hastily retreating upstairs to the flat. Jesse laughs lightly and rolls his hips into me, unearthing a delightful drum deep in my stomach. My breath hitches as his forehead meets mine.
If we were alone, you would be against that wall, and I would be fucking you stupid.
He rolls again, dragging a whimper from me as the drumming moves into my core. I mentally curse Kate to hell.
I can be quiet, I whisper. Gag me if you must.
He smirks.
Trust me, you'll be screaming. No gag will stifle it.
My body convulses.
Now, tomorrow, he says assertively, I'd like to make an appointment.
An appointment to fuck me? He starts laughing.
Mouth. I want you back at the manor so you can take the details you really need to start working on some designs.
My mouth forms an O, and he leans down, plunging his tongue in, attacking me with passion. I let him take me with everything he has, my knees buckling when he rolls those damn delectable hips again. I feel lost when he breaks away, panting, his eyes briefly clenching shut.
I don't make appointments to fuck you, Ava. I'll be doing that when I please.
Removing his hooded eyes from mine, he glances up the stairs, and I know he's cursing Kate for being home too.
The manor at noon, he states, reaching up and running his finger down my cheek. I nod. Good girl.
He smiles, pushes his lips against my forehead before turning and striding out. I sag against the wall, trying to catch my breath, my mind racing. I'm falling hard and fast, and I'm scared. Chapter 12. The next morning, I land in the office with an almighty crash, quite literally. I'm sprawled across the wooden floor, surrounded by boxes, with Tom running toward me, horror plastered all over his baby face.
Oh, God! Are you okay?
He reaches down to help me up, brushing down my black fitted skirt before beginning on my sleeveless blouse.
I'm so sorry. I was just moving them into storage.
He flaps around me like a mother hen, babbling about health and safety and accident books.
Tom, I'm fine. Get your hands off my tits.
He quickly withdraws his flapping hands from my breasts, giggling.
Oh, and what lovely breasts they are, Red Riding Hood.
If you weren't gay, I would have slapped you by now.
Morning, I hear Victoria before I see her.
Tom, I'm never going out with you again.
She hisses at him, perching herself on her chair. I look to each of them in turn.
What's going on? He dumped me again.
I drop my bag by my desk and watch as Victoria fires all sorts of accusations at a very guilty-looking Tom. With no desire to get involved, I get my phone from my bag and find a text from Kate. Left early, didn't want to wake you in case you were dreaming of all things lord-like. Wink face. Baroque at 1? Have to be back for 2:30. XXX. Yes, and daydreams too. My confused mind homes straight in on the thoughts that kept me awake most of the night. The thoughts that are making my heart and head squabble relentlessly. He's taken me. Fought and won, but I'm not sure I'm ready to give myself to a man again, and especially to a man who demands so much. I'm a sensible girl, except, it seems, when it comes to Jesse. I need time to think about this, without him close by to distract me with his touch. I try to busy myself with emails and checking up on contractor progress, while at the same time thinking of all sorts of excuses I can feed Jesse. I should arrange a meeting, make it business, and ensure it stays that way, which is far easier said than done when I'm in close proximity to him. Patrick comes rolling in at 11 with Starbucks. I could kiss him.
Cappuccino, extra shot, no sugar or chocolate for you, flower.
He clucks my cheek, placing my coffee on my desk.
Don't forget your appointment with Michael tomorrow.
He perches on my desk, and I hold my breath as it creaks.
No, I haven't.
I push my diary across my desk for Patrick to see the big, bold print.
Good girl. How did you get on at the manor?
I blush instantly. I didn't tell Patrick about my second appointment. But he only has to flick through my diary to see, which he obviously has.
Fine, I squeak, my voice a few notes higher than my typical tone.
Jolly good. Keep me posted.
He lifts himself up from my desk and goes about handing out the rest of the coffees. I instinctively check underneath for splintered wood or loose screws, puffing my cheeks out in relief for both his lack of interrogation and for my desk's well-being. With all of my distractions, I hadn't considered the possibility of Patrick finding out about my extracurricular activities with Mr. Ward. This could have a very detrimental effect on my career. I can't risk that, as well as a broken heart. In a moment, based on pure instinct, I text Kate, a yes to her lunch offer, and follow it up with a message to Jesse. I'm sorry. I need to cancel. I can't even see him on a professional level right now. He'll push and I'll cave. No sooner have I placed my phone back on my desk and untangled my finger from my hair, the office door opens and a spray of calla lilies are carted in. It's the delivery girl from Luso. I see Tom point to my desk, and I'm instantly flooded with guilt. I re-slump in my chair. I've just stood him up, and he's sent me flowers.
I accept the flowers, signing the delivery girl's paperwork before finding the card.
I'm looking very forward to my appointment. You should be too. J.X.
I drop my arms on the desk and bury my head in them, telling myself that this is the right thing to do, the sensible thing. His written word has just confirmed that this meeting will not be in the least bit business-related. Fuck! My phone starts ringing. I don't have to look at it to know who's calling. He was never going to accept a brush-off via text, or any brush-off for that matter. It stops, but almost immediately blurts the arrival of a text.
Cancel for what?
I read the three-word simple question a dozen times and come up with nothing that'll appease him, so I bite the bullet and text him back. Just give me some time. This is really intense, really fast. I leave at 12:45 to go and meet Kate, after ignoring 10 missed calls from Jessie, who's clearly not prepared to give me the time I'd like. When I arrive, the bar is busy, but I spot Kate in the corner with drinks already on the table. She detects my despondency immediately. "Should I ask what the matter is?" she says, just as my phone starts screaming again and I let out an almighty sigh. "Who's that?" "Jessie." She frowns.
"Aren't you going to answer?"
I lean back in my chair, letting it ring off. I cancelled my meeting with him. Kate's jaw drops open.
Why?
I think real hard, but it hurts too much. I'm not sure. My shoulders sag. I don't know. I was so overwhelmed yesterday, I let a firm chest, hypnotic voice, and soft, lush lips derail my cognitive thinking. She gives me a sympathetic look, but it quickly transforms into one of immense interest when something catches her eye.
Hello.
Hottie at 3 o'clock.
Oh, Auntie's looking.
How's my hair? Have I got any icing on my face? Kate starts frantically brushing her cheeks with her palms. I turn to 3 o'clock and see the guy from the bar at the manor, Sam. He has a big smile on his cheeky face as he raises his bottle of beer to me. I raise my hand and turn back to Kate.
You know him?
She asks incredulously. Sam. He was at the manor. He's a friend of Jessie's.
Fucking hell! Jessie's a member of the Hot Gang!
She giggles, her eyes widening with excitement.
Hey, he's coming over. Introduce me, please.
I shake my head at her. It's one more first date for her to get her teeth into. Sam reaches the table, still smiling and flashing that dimple. He really is very cute, with his unkempt hair and twinkling eyes. He's in jeans and a t-shirt again. Casual must be his thing.
Ava, how are you?
I'm good, Sam. You?
Great. How's Jessie?
He inquires on a grin. I feel my face blush, even though I've reached the swift conclusion that he's playing with me. He's Jessie's mate. He should know how he is. I shrug, because I really don't know what to say. When I left him yesterday, he was firing on all sexual cylinders, and I was panting like a desperate, wanton loser. Now, I expect, he's slightly irate that I've cancelled our meeting. No, scrap that. I know he's irate. His persistent calls tell me so. I feel a sharp crack on my shin and look up to see Kate scowling at me. Oh, Sam, this is Kate. Kate, meet Sam. I wave my hand between the two of them, watching as Kate turns all angelic, putting her hand out to Sam, who grins before clasping it. Nice to meet you, Kate, he says smoothly, maintaining his grin and running his free hand through his mousy waves.
You too,
she giggles, as Sam compliments her wild red hair, their hands still linked. My phone declares a text, and to escape the blatant flirting going on in front of me, I pick it up and open the message with one eye closed. There better be a good fucking reason for you standing me up, and needing time isn't one. Someone had better be dying. I'm going out of my fucking mind, lady. No kiss. My poor bloody brain feels like it could explode. What's happening to me? I put my phone on the table and look up to see Kate performing the best flirting act I've ever witnessed. And their hands are still clasped. She drags her attention away from Sam to look at me. Jessie? Jessie? Sam repeats, turning his gaze to me. Yes, I reply offhand, like it doesn't matter, taking a needed swig of my lunchtime wine. I sit forever, ignored by Kate and Sam, while they chat and laugh. It suits me fine, but it also gives me too much time to think. But it's no good. I need quiet, peace, silence around me in a bottle of wine, while I let my heart and brain loose on each other. I stand, keen to get back to work, and attempt to busy myself. Kate, I smile sweetly, as she finally drags her greedy blue eyes away from Sam. Haven't you got a 2:30 appointment? Nope, she smiles back, trumping my sweetness level. I narrow my eyes on her playfully, picking up my bag and phone. I'll see you later, then. It was nice to see you again, Sam. He kisses me on the cheek. Yeah, and you, Ava. Keep it real. I turn to leave and find Jessie standing behind me, glaring at me like a rabid dog, but looking delicious in a charcoal suit.
Who's dead?
He barks. I shrink on the spot as he scowls at me, good and proper.
You don't get to fuck me off, Ava.
Kate starts looking anywhere and everywhere but our direction, and Sam does a really rubbish job of looking uninterested. Jessie looks like he's about to hit something. I have to get back to work, I say quietly, sidestepping him and leaving the bar. I walk out onto Piccadilly and into the lunchtime crowd, knowing he's following me. I can feel his penetrating green eyes stabbing at my back, so I quicken my pace, intent on making it to my office where I'm safe from his wrath and interrogation. I make it through the office door, but no sooner have I made it to my desk, I'm hauled from my feet on a squeal, and I'm on my way back out. "What the bloody hell are you doing?" I shout at him, but he ignores me, carrying on with his long, even strides out of my office. I brace my hands at the bottom of his back and look up to see Tom, Victoria, and Sally with their faces pushed up against the window, gawping as I'm manhandled into the street. Oh, God, please let Patrick be out of the office. Jessie, fucking hell, put me down now! He lets me slide down his front, purposely slow, so I feel every hard muscle of his delicious chest, stopping me before my feet hit the ground. He holds me around my waist so my lips are level with his blatant erection rubbing me in just the right spot. He's mad and turned on? A treacherous moan escapes my lips as he pushes himself against me, breathing his hot, minty breath on my lips. My senses have been hijacked again, just from contact, as he holds me in place in front of all my colleagues, who are all squashed at the office door, fighting for the best view.
Mouth. You stood me up.
He presses his lips to mine before he pulls away, his eyes softening as he looks at me expectantly. I'm sorry. I divert my eyes from his penetrating stare, not knowing what else to say. My conflicting thoughts are becoming frustrating. When he's still silent a few moments later, I slowly lift my gaze back to him. This could be a mistake. He shakes his head mildly and then he attacks my mouth, right in the middle of Bruton Street. He's reminding me. My fingers thread through his hair as I surrender to his impossibly addictive mouth, and he unashamedly consumes me, oblivious to the hustle and bustle of lunchtime pedestrians passing and staring.
What do you need time for?
He thrusts his groin forward aggressively, coaxing a moan to escape my mouth.
To think. Don't think, Ava,
he orders, in a tone that dares me to defy him.
This is how it is. Accept it.
He releases me from his grip, and my feet hit the ground, the loss of support causing me to stagger forward. He grabs the top of my arm to steady me, causing a slight stab of pain to radiate through me, snapping me out of my spellbound state on a sharp inhale. I'm dropped from his hold, and he stands back, his soft eyes raging and focused on the scatter of bruises at the top of my arm, courtesy of Mr. Baldy Jag. His jaw starts ticking, his chest puffing, as he stares at my arm.
I'm fine.
I cover my arm with my palm in the hope that concealing the offending area might snap him out of his fuming state. He looks positively homicidal.
I need to get back to work.
My voice is small, nervous even. I'm not at all comfortable with the darkening of his green eyes. Eventually, he shakes his head lightly and stalks off without another word, leaving me standing on the pavement, wondering what in the world just happened. I look down to the ground, my eyes darting about, like I might find the answer written in chalk on the slabs. Is that it? Is it over? The look on his face said it is, but I'm not sure how I feel about that now. One second he's thrusting his hips into me on a moan, the next he's looking at me in pure irritation. What am I supposed to make of this? I really don't know, so I shake myself out of my reverie and head back into the office. The silence is awkward. Everyone is obviously pretending to look busy.
You okay?
Tom asks, slowly passing my desk. I look up, seeing his usual nosy expression is dotted with concern.
I'm fine. Not a word to Patrick.
It comes out harsher than I intended.
Of course, I'll say no more.
He holds his hands up in defense. Fuck. All I need is Patrick to find out that I've been caught up with a client. I should have been stronger and resisted his advances. I'm really not very comfortable with how I feel right now. I think it's somewhere in the realms of abandonment. I practically crawl through the front door in an exhausted heap, finding Kate in the kitchen, hanging out the window, having a cheeky cigarette.
You need to pack that in, I scold her.
She doesn't smoke much, just a couple here and there, but it's a bad habit nevertheless. She takes a last drag and throws it out of the window before hastily climbing down from the worktop.
It helps me think,
she defends herself.
Where's the wine?
She grabs my bag from me, pulling it open, before looking at me in disgust. I've just committed a cardinal sin. I've forgotten the wine. I shrug. I've had other things on my mind.
Oh, sorry.
She looks at me in sympathy. I'll go to the shop. You get changed. Fish and chips? She grabs her purse from the table as she shoves her feet in her flip-flops.
Just chips.
I make my way down the hall to my bedroom, feeling completely deflated. I sit with Kate on the couch, picking at the chips on my plate. I have absolutely no appetite, and I'm only half watching the rerun of Friends. My mind is all over the place, and I'm so furious with myself for letting it be.
Come on then, spit it out, Kate demands.
I turn to face my fiery friend with a chip halfway to my mouth. I was an idiot if I thought I could get away with sulking in peace. I give her a non-committal shrug, popping the chip in my mouth and chewing lazily. Talking about it will only emphasize the fact that I'm actually mooding over it, it being a man. You like him? Yes, I do. I don't want to, but I do. He's bad news. You saw him today, I grumble. She makes a dramatic display of rolling her eyes and throwing herself back on the sofa. Ava, what I saw was a man who's crazy about a woman. She puts her plate on the coffee table in front of the sofa. I frown at her. Then why did he abandon me? Her pale brow furrows. Abandon? I realize my error immediately. I didn't mean it like that. He followed me back to the office, told me he wasn't giving me any space, then stalked off.
Have you called him?
No, I answer quietly. This is the space I asked for, and it's also what I need. I didn't think I'd feel so empty, though. I go for a subject change. You should know that Dan's coming home. The groan that fills the room is exactly what I expected. That's fine, as long as I don't have to see him. He's going down to our mum and dad's first, so you're safe for a while. Good, she spits harshly, drifting into thought. I need to pull her back around quickly. Sam? I ask on a raised brow. It does the job. She's immediately animated. Isn't he yummy? He took my number. You're a tart, Kate Matthews, I laugh. I know, she shrieks and turns serious again.
Hey, you're crafty.
What?
We were talking about you.
I'd rather not. I lean back and get comfy. Let's watch this. Kate slowly turns back to the television. I like him, she says quietly, almost like she's afraid to admit it, like it's wrong to like him. I'm just saying, he's rich, steaming hot, and obviously well into you. A man doesn't behave like that when he's just fucking about, Ava. Well, that may be so, but it doesn't change the fact that he's cleared off and my phone hasn't rung since. It's undoubtedly a good thing. I have to keep telling myself that. Do you fancy a proper night out on Saturday? I ask. It's a stupid question that I already know the answer to. The look she fires me is mischievous. I grin back at her. Chapter 13. The next day, I breeze into the Royal Park Hotel at 12:15, all set for my appointment with Michael Vanderhaus. I'm directed into a snug sitting area with plush sofas, gilded frames swamping the walls, and a carved fireplace dominating the space. It's typically regal. I'm offered tea, which I decline in favour of water. It's bloody hot, and my black pencil dress is clinging to me, and 20 minutes later, Mr. Vanderhaus enters, looking impeccable. He's really very handsome. He smiles brightly at me, revealing a perfect row of white teeth. What is it with me and older men at the moment? I hastily bat away my wayward thoughts. Ava, please accept my apologies. I never like to keep a lady waiting. His mild Danish accent is only just detectable, but really sexy. I rise from my seat as he approaches, putting my hand out to him with a smile, and he takes it, but shocks me when he leans forward and kisses me on the cheek. Okay, that's slightly inappropriate, but I'll go with it. Maybe it's a Danish thing. Mr. Vanderhaus, it's not a problem. I've not long arrived myself, I reassure him. Ava, this is our second project together. I know you dealt with my partner on Luso, but I will be involved in the life building a lot more, so please call me Michael. I hate formality. He takes a seat in the chair opposite me, crossing his long legs.
So, I'm looking forward to going through some designs with you soon.
Yes, I'm looking forward to getting some ideas rolling.
Me too, he laughs. I'm being very rude, dragging you here at such short notice, but I'm flying back to Denmark on Friday. I have your email. I shall send you the specific requirements. You did such a good job at Luso. It really does lighten the pressure when you work with proficient people. He smiles. Isn't he going to give me the specifics now? That's why I'm here, isn't it?
We could have a quick chat now, I prompt, waving my pad at him.
He sits for a while, regarding me quietly, before leaning forward in his chair. Eva, I hope you don't think I'm being audacious. You see, well, how can I put it? He drums his fingers on his chin. I'm a little worried. I'm afraid I've brought you here under false pretenses. He laughs nervously, shifting in his chair.
Oh? How so?
I ask, forcing my own awkward laugh. I would like you to join me for dinner. He looks at me expectantly, and I'm sure my face must resemble that of complete horror. I'm burning up. Tomorrow evening, if it's convenient with you, of course, he adds.
Shit! What do I say? If I say no, he might withdraw his business from Rococo Union and Patrick will go spare.
Mr. Vanderhaus, Michael, please, he interrupts me with a smile.
Michael, I'm not sure mixing business with pleasure is a good idea. It's kind of a rule for me. I'm very flattered.
I laugh at my own audacity. Since when has that been an issue of late? And why did I say pleasure? I've assumed and suggested that it would be pleasurable to have dinner with him. It might not be, or it very well could be. Oh, God, I mentally throw myself into the lovely fireplace.
Oh, that is a shame, Eva. He sighs.
Yes, it is. I agree, relaunching myself back into the hearth when he looks up in surprise. He leans forward.
I admire your professionalism.
Thank you.
I'm bloody blushing again. I hope this won't affect our business relationship, Eva. I very much look forward to working with you.
I'm looking forward to working with you too, Michael. He lifts himself from the couch, approaching me with his hand stretched out.
Thank God. I take it, letting him gently shake it.
Did he really just drag me here to ask me to dinner?
Once I return from Denmark, I would like to show you around the building. Until then, you can draft some schemes. I'll have the drawing sent to your office, and I'll email you the specifics.
Thank you, Michael. Enjoy your trip.
Goodbye, Eva. His long legs take him out of the snug, leaving me to finish my water. By 2:30, I'm back in the office. I don't mention to Patrick the strangeness of my meeting with Michael Vanderhaus, mainly because I'm concerned that in the name of business, he'll demand I go to dinner with him. Patrick will assume it would be a business dinner, but Michael made it perfectly clear that there would be no business involved. Instead, I just mention emails, drawings, and his intention to show me the building upon his return from Denmark. This seems to keep Patrick happy. I get busy and start making a few notes on Scandinavian design. I know I'll be basing my plans around clean, white, easy living, but I'm comforted by the fact that it will be tranquil and warm, not sparse and cold. My phone rings and I grab it, way too hastily. It's Kate.
Hi, I greet in an over-the-top, chirpy voice. I don't know why I bother. She sees straight through it.
Faking detachment, are we?
Yes.
I thought so. Have you not heard from him?
No. Liking monosyllables today, huh?
Yes.
She sighs heavily down the phone.
Whatever. Have you asked Victoria and Tom if they're up for Saturday night?
No, I will, though. I've just got back from a very strange meeting. I open my top drawer to grab a paperclip, noticing the calla lily squished down by the side of my stapler.
Strange how? She's intrigued.
I went to meet the developer of Luso. Well, one of them. He asked me to dinner. It was really uncomfortable. I grab the lily and chuck it in the bin, resisting the urge to smell it again. She laughs down the phone at me.
How old is this one?
Mid-40s, I guess, but extremely handsome, in a Scandinavian kind of way. I shrug to myself while guiding my mouse aimlessly around the screen.
You're like a mature man magnet at the moment. Are you going?
No, I screech.
Why would I?
Why not? I can't see her, but I know she has a questioning eyebrow arched.
It might help you get over a certain other client. If you want to get over him, I mean.
No, I can't, because I have a new rule. No mixing business with pleasure.
Move! She screams, making me jump at my desk.
Sorry, some prat just cut me up.
No mixing business with pleasure.
Yes. Are you driving and talking on your mobile, Miss Matthews? I challenge her. I know Margot doesn't have a hands-free kit.
Yeah, I'd better beat feet. See you at home. And don't forget to tell Tom and Victoria the plans for Saturday.
What are the plans? I blurt before she hangs up.
Get drunk. Baroque. 8 o'clock.
Get drunk. Yes, that's a very good plan.
Morning.
I know I sound like a miserable cow, but I'm trying really hard not to be. Tom looks up from his copy of Interiors Weekly and lowers his glasses to the end of his nose.
Darling, why the long face?
He asks. I can't even muster up the energy to plaster on a fake smile. I slump in my chair, and Tom sprawled across my desk like mature ivy within a second.
Here, this'll cheer you up.
He presents me with a feature in the magazine he's reading, and there, sitting casually on the velvet chaise lounge at Luso, is me.
Wonderful, I sigh.
I don't even bother reading it. I need to eradicate all things relating to Luso from my mind.
Man trouble?
He gives me a look of sympathy. No, not man trouble. There's no man to be having trouble with. I sulk and reluctantly admit I really miss him. I'm fine. I find the strength to slap a smile on my face. It's Friday. I'm looking forward to getting plastered tomorrow night. I need a good night out.
Are we really getting plastered? Fabulous!
Patrick comes barreling into the office.
Guys, have we any work to do, or is it fart around Friday?
He passes us swiftly, heading into his office and shutting the door behind him. Let's get on with some work, shall we? I shoo Tom away from my desk.
Oh, I forgot! Tom swings round. Vanderhouse called to say he'll be back in London on Monday. He'll call you upon his return. He's emailing you the specifics and had these sent over. Is he hot?
His eyebrows jump up suggestively as he hands me an envelope.
He's the biggest gay tart, but I'll humour him.
Very. I take the drawings, widening my eyes for effect. His baby face screws up in disgust.
How come you get all the dishy clients? He asks as he walks back to his desk. What I wouldn't give to have an Adonis walk in here and throw me over his shoulder.
I wince at Tom's referral to Jesse's performance the last time I saw him and start to work my way through heaps of quotations, delivery schedules, and contractor requirements before calling my live clients to check all is well.
An email lands from Michael, and I scan it quickly, deciding to look at it in more detail on Monday. Sally comes scuttling up to my desk with a delivery.
I think this may be for you, Ava.
She shifts from side to side with a box in her hand. Do you want it? If it's a delivery for me, then I guess I want it. Oh, this girl is painfully anxious. I take the box from her hands. Thank you, Sally. Will you make Patrick a coffee? I didn't know he wanted one. The panic on her face has me wanting to make her a coffee. Well, he doesn't look right. Let's look after him.
Is he okay? He's not ill, is he?
No, but I think he could do with a coffee. I press, trying my hardest not to lose my patience.
Of course.
She scuttles off, her brown plaid skirt swishing around her court shoes. I couldn't even hazard a guess at her age. She looks about 40, but intuition tells me she'll shock me and be nearer my age. I open the box and find all of the material swatches I ordered for the life building, but I throw the box under my desk, set to deal with them on Monday too. On Saturday, I stand in my bedroom ready to go. My hair is behaving, happy that it's been blow-dried into tumbling waves, courtesy of Philippe, my hairdresser, and the new dress I picked up from Selfridges to make me feel better fits perfectly. It's black, short, and very tight. With dramatic smudged eyes and nude lips, I'm looking pretty sultry. I walk into the kitchen, finding Kate hanging out of the window having a sneaky cigarette. What's she thinking now? She looks her usual lovely self, in a cream backless dress.
Wow,
she blurts. Someone's out to impress tonight. She jumps down from the worktop, slipping her feet into her gold heels. Short enough? I arch an eyebrow at her, running my eyes down her dress. Pot. She laughs her carefree laugh that never fails to bring a smile to my own face. Here. She hands me a glass of wine, and I take it gratefully, pretty much necking it. It's very welcome. The taxi's here. Let's go have fun. We walk into Baroque, spotting Tom and Victoria at the bar immediately.
What the hell?
Tom exclaims, running his eyes up and down my black-clad body on a grin.
Ava, you look lethal.
Really good, Ava, Victoria adds.
Thanks,
I shrug, pulling the hem down. What are you having? Kate asks.
Rosé, but make sure it's Zinfandel, please.
Kate orders the drinks, and we make our way to a tall table near the DJ. As the wine flows down, my troubled thoughts flow away. We're laughing and chatting, and I'm beginning to feel normal again. My mum has always said, alcohol makes for loose lips, and loose lips sink ships. This, I have just discovered, is most certainly true, because I'm totally lit up. And I've filled everyone in on recent events. Considering I wanted to forget about it, I'm doing a bloody good job of hanging onto the memories. Tom is thrilled about all of the rebound sex I've had.
So, he just stalked off and you haven't seen him since?
He asks critically.
Victoria pipes up. That's really uncool.
Kate rolls her eyes, looking at the pair like they're a sandwich short of a picnic.
Isn't it obvious? She huffs.
Tom and Victoria look at each other, then to me. I shrug.
Is what obvious?
Kate shakes her head.
You lot are dense. It's simple. He wants her. No man behaves like that over a quick screw. I've told you this, Ava.
Why would he disappear then?
Victoria leans in, truly captivated by Kate's explanation for Jesse's behaviour.
I don't know, I'm just saying. I've witnessed the chemistry. It's way off the scales.
Kate flops back on her tall chair in complete exasperation. I laugh. I'm not sure if it's too much wine, but that's just funny.
It doesn't matter.
He was a rebound fuck, and that's it. My explanation doesn't seem to satisfy, because they all carry on studying me with doubtful looks on their faces. I don't even think I'm satisfied with my explanation, but it's been 4 days, and I've resisted the overwhelming temptation to call him, and he hasn't called me. I'm moving on. Can we change the subject, please? I groan. I'm out to enjoy myself, not to analyze the details of my rebound fuck.
Rebound fuck? Kate asks on a raised brow. Is that what we're calling him now?
Yes, I reply conclusively. Tom stirs his piña colada.
You know, everything happens for a reason.
Oh, don't start with all that airy-fairy crap, Kate chides him.
It does. I'm a firm believer in it. Your rebound fuck is a stepping stone to the love of your life.
He winks at me.
And Matt was a 4-year stepping stone, Kate points out.
To stepping stones, Tom sings, raising his glass. Kate joins the toast.
And shots.
I finish my wine and raise my glass in agreement.
Yes, shots, Tom shouts, dancing off to the bar.
We sway down the road to our next destination, the Blue Bar, making it past the doorman, although one does eye Tom's shirt suspiciously. Tom and Victoria charge for the dance floor when they hear Flo Rida and Sia singing about Wild Ones, leaving Kate and I to get the drinks. I order a round and take Tom and Victoria's over, putting them on a ledge nearby where they're getting down with some serious dance moves. When I join Kate back at the bar, she's talking to a man. She doesn't know him, and I can tell because she's notched up her flirting by a few gears. As I approach, she raises her voice over the music.
Ava, this is Greg.
I smile, putting my hand out politely. He looks normal enough.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Yeah, and you?
He immediately turns his attention back to Kate, resting his palm on her backside and leading her into a corner. She doesn't stop him.
Ava!
I turn toward the familiar voice, spotting Matt heading straight over to me, and it takes every ounce of my drunken willpower not to groan. He grabs me, squeezing me to his chest, throwing me out completely. Never has he hugged me like this, even when we were together. He pulls away and plants a kiss on my cheek, lingering longer than is necessary.
How are you?
Fine, I break away from him.
You look nice, he says cheerfully. Do you want a drink?
No, I'm fine, I frown at him, completely flummoxed. There's been no contact since we split, and while everyone claims they can remain friends, it never works. Especially when one half shagged half of London behind the other's back. He starts fidgeting, acting shifty and nervous, and it's making me incredibly uncomfortable. I take a sip of my wine, watching him over my glass as he twitches and plays with the rim of his pint. What's eating him? He eventually draws a deep breath.
I've missed you, he says firmly and concisely.
My glass is hovering at my lips as he continues.
I was a total twat. I don't deserve any second chances.
I scoff, nearly spitting my wine all over him.
A second chance?
He drops his head in defeat.
Yeah, okay, I take your point.
He lifts his head, his face all genuine and soppy.
It would never happen again, I promise you.
Is he having me on? How many times have I heard the same old bullshit? He's a serial cheater.
Matt, I'm sorry, but it's never going to happen, I tell him evenly and calmly.
His eyes widen with surprise, and I shake my head lightly to reaffirm my statement. I watch as he drifts into thought, and then his hand lifts, and he strokes my arm gently.
We were so good together.
No, we weren't.
I laugh, not meaning to sound so condescending, but it comes naturally. The only person our